It's either I'm speaking from God or I'm not speaking from God. But then I'm accountable to what I'm saying, and you're accountable to how you're hearing it. You know, you have to make a decision whether God is speaking through me or not. If he is, what are you going to do about it? What if he is not? Then it's fine. But I believe that what I'm bringing to you is coming from God, and I'm accountable to that. And one day I'll have to give account to everything I say. One of the important things about society today, it is hearing, listening. In our daily lives, I'm sure you would agree, although you live in a place where things don't seem to be as busy as in a big city, but life got busier. Life got noisier. In the past, people would not have TVs, and they had one TV. Now when families have one TV each room of the house. You've got radios, everybody has a mobile phone. If you go to, like in Edinburgh, you go to restaurants and you see families, they will be around the table, each one of them will have a mobile phone. And it looks they are together, but they are not. They are elsewhere, their minds are totally different places, but they are together, and then the meal comes, and they will say, thank you, and they will go back to their phones. So they are together by listening to five people on the table. They are together by listening to five different, listening or reading or having thoughts about five different things. That's our life. That's modern life. We are surrounded by noises and voices. Is the TV, is the radio, newspapers, family. I mean, how many of you here have young children in the house? You know, right? It is noise, isn't it? 7:30 in the morning, it's full on. You know, I was telling Fergus and his lovely wife that I've got this young daughter, 3 years old. She's quite something. At age of 2.5, she can really talk. I mean, she can talk. I mean, she really can do some talking. So one day I was looking after her in the afternoon, and she was really going for it, just talking about everything. Everything was a matter for a conversation. Every little thing she would say, oh, what about that? What about that? And it was brain hurting. Then I said to her, darling, Dad needs to do some work. Would you just shush it for a minute? And then there was silence. And then she said, Dad, you know what? And I said, what is it, Ellen? The thing is, my mouth needs to speak. You know, we're surrounded. We can't stop that. We can't stop noises. We have the internet. We have the internet. It's endless social networks. It is a lot of information for our minds and hearts to process. I don't know if you know this, but a 7-year-old child today has the same access to data than a Roman emperor would have in its peak of ruling, of its ruling. A 7-year-old child today has the same access to data, to information the Roman emperor would have had in the peak of its ruling. That much information we have flowing around us, coming and going from our minds every day. However, the bad news, we cannot stop that. We cannot stop the noises around us. We cannot stop even the noises within us. I find it amazing that according to Guinness World Record book, the quietest room on earth, it is in the United States of America at Orfield Research Center. And this room is 99% soundproof. 99.9% soundproof. But here's the funny thing. So it's the quietest place on earth. For us, our parents, great. Let's go in there for a holiday. But the funny thing is, you walk into that room. And that place, after a little while, your body, your ears will adjust to the environment. And all of a sudden, you become the sound. All of a sudden, you can hear your heart pumping. You can hear a tummy doing whatever it's doing out in there, you know. You can hear your breathing. So all of a sudden, you're adjusted to the environment and you can hear yourself. And it becomes quite loud and disorientating. And also, so there's too much noise disorientates you. But the other side of it, in the quietest place of the planet, what happens is that you lose sense of direction. Once you stay a while in this quiet room, You lose sense of direction of in space. You have no idea whether you're sitting or you're standing or you're laying down. You just lose all your bearings. Although you can see it, you cannot really control yourself. It's a crazy thing. That relates to the Word of God. Either we hear too much and we get disorientated, confused. Or when we stop listening to God, we also get confused and disorientated. So the thing is finding a balance. So we cannot stop what we're listening, but we can choose who we're going to listen to. So I've got a question for you this morning, and I want to really speak to you about it. Whose voice are you listening to? Who is speaking in your life? Who is influencing you, the direction of your life? Whose voice are you listening to? The scripture says in Romans chapter 10, 17, So faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. This particular verse in Romans 10, 17, and it really impacted my life a few years ago, when there was that major earthquake in Haiti. And I was sitting in my house, perfectly comfortable, thinking about the things of God and, you know, the church. And I was reaching, looking at the BBC News and the whole the horrendous things those people were going through and still going through today. So, and I was, as they were showing all the houses destroyed and the police, instead of looking after people, they were going for themselves. The whole thing was incredibly chaotic. And I was asking myself, Lord, how are they going to make it? Because there's no one for them. And then the BBC News turned to this lady who had lost a house and all her belongings. Praise God, she didn't lose anyone, but she lost everything she had. And they said to her, so what are you going to do now? This is BBC, live TV. She says, the Lord is good and he will get me through it. So here's the thing. When we are listening to the voice of God, the voice of God does something that we cannot reason neither explain with human knowledge. When we are listening to the voice of God, even a bad news becomes good news. Because you can see beyond your tragedy. We're talking, as Brian was singing, God, I look to you. If we go back to the act of the apostles, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, the scripture says that they saw what looked like to be tongues of fire. That little word saw, they saw, that it implies more than a visual thing. It implies realization. You know, when you're in school, you're learning something or you're really curious about something and someone tells you something and you have the aha moment. You know what aha moment is? Aha. Have you had aha moment this, you know, or just me? No, you have had some? Yeah, good. So there you go. So when the disciples were really concerned, Jesus is gone, we don't know what to do, and they were persecuted, and the whole thing was going on, and they were being threatened, their lives were at risk. But then the Spirit of God comes upon them, and the scripture says they saw what looked like to be tongues of fire. But actually, the Greek expression speaks way more than only seeing. It speaks about perceiving, discerning. The scriptures translate in a Greek way that what they saw was like, uh-huh, we see now. And that's what the voice of God does to us. It enables us to see beyond the tragedy that we might be facing. It enables us to see beyond ourselves. It enables us to see beyond our own agendas. We can see beyond what it looks to be chaotic and difficult. But we must pay attention. Why is it so important to be listening to the right voice? Because the instruction you follow determines the future you create for yourself. It is simple as that. I don't know about you, but I have a problem and I always try to solve it. I'm working on it. If I buy something new, which needs to be assembled, I don't read the manual. I will only read the manual once I realize I'm defeated. So that I'll go back and have, so it's basically at work twice as hard. My wife keeps telling me that, why I do that? I just feel I'm a man, that's what a man do. You know, but obviously reading a manual is an important thing. So following instructions is very important. You see in the scripture that every miracle, with only a few exceptions, before there was a miracle, there was an instruction. Jesus said, do this and that happened. The prophets will say, do that and that would happen. So every instruction that you follow in your life will create the future for yourself. We go to school, we follow instructions. We do things, we do things according to what we're taught. So we expect, I come from a farming background myself, and if you want to have a harvest, you have to plant in the right way. You have to sow the seeds in the right way. So there are instructions, there are ways to do things. You can be spontaneous, you can improvise along the way when things don't go quite as you expect. But instructions are very important, and especially when it comes to spiritual things. So in order to have a future of hope and peace and prosperity, where you are encouraged despite of what you're going through, because the scripture promises joy, no happiness. Happiness is based upon events that are temporal. If, I don't know how much money you have this morning, but let's say you're really short of cash, and I happen to have, which I don't, by the way, so just don't, it's a metaphor. So when I come here and I give you 200 pounds, here's 200 pounds, do whatever you want, you're going to be incredibly happy. Because happiness is this, you compared how you were before the event. So you were broke a minute ago, now you have 200 pounds. This is it, God is real. So you go, and by the end of the afternoon, by the end of the day, the week, the 200 pounds are gone, and you go emotionally, you go back right to where you were before. Joy has nothing to do with events. Joy has to do with nature. We become joyful. Like Peter said, we have this inexpressible and glorious joy. The scripture gives us joy. And as we follow the instructions of the scripture of Jesus, we're going to have a life of joy that doesn't require natural elements. Four questions that I want to ask you. Whose voice are you listening to? Who is speaking your life? What are you hearing? It's important. I wake up in the morning, and I really do it. You know, one of the things I find difficult is to deal with people who wake up in a bad mood. If you laugh and you have one in the house. You know, but it's a choice. I wake up sometime in the morning, I've been having a rough night, and the kids didn't sleep well. I wake up in the morning, and I sit in my bed, and I'm being honest with you, I'm honest, that's what I do, and I sit there, and I have all these happy thoughts, you know, Lord, it's a day that you made. I make a choice. I consciously make a choice. Who am I going to listen here? Am I going to listen to myself, my mornings, and my things, or am I going to listen to God? And I choose to do that. And I start to hear things. What does it create in me? Everything you hear will generate something in your life. Every word that is spoken of your life will generate something. And whatever it is that you're listening to, whatever it is that is influencing your life, where is it leading you to? It's pretty simple to know whether you're hearing God or not. Because if we're hearing God, it always points out to Jesus. Everything we do, if we're hearing from God, is never about ourselves. More you know of the gospel, less you want to know about yourself. When you look at the gospel, it is not an offer, it is a challenge. Because in the gospel of Jesus, look at the gospel of Jesus, it's very, very little about me and about you, and it's so about Jesus. And that's what the disciples grabbed. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they said, you know what? It's not about us. It is not about our culture. It's not about our religion. It's not about our way of doing things. It's not about our nation. It is so about this, the word of Christ, the word of the Messiah. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Christ becomes the filter to all the things that we hear. So whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the society's voice? Let me just talk to you about this for a minute. Society constantly rewrites its opinion and principles according to their own needs in order to create desired present. Society. What I mean society, what I'm talking about the worldly view. They're not really, we do have plans for the future. Obviously we do have good stuff. We have plannings and we have projects for the future, for the community. But I'm talking in principles. Society shifts all the time. If you let your life be ruled by society, but what society says, today something is great, tomorrow is not going to be great. You see people who are in sports, one day they are heroes, next day they are nobody. You see, politicians, one day he's the guy, he's going for it. The next day, nobody wants to see him. Society will shift very quickly because it's always according to what they need, to what feels good for the moment. According to the present society, greatness, is measured by how many people serve you. Society measures your achievement, your life, but how many people serve you, how much you have achieved. When the kingdom of God measures greatness by how many people you serve and how much you give away. It's the opposite of God's kingdom. I need you to know this: greatness in society is measured by how much you achieve, how many degrees you have, how many titles or positions or power or influence, or how many people are around you. Society wants you to be famous. It's about what you seem to be. But God wants you to be important. There's a fundamental difference between famous and important. You can be famous for something you seem like you do, or based upon your appearance. But to be important, you might not be famous, but very important. You might be important to someone. Just get the word in itself. What's your name? Sylvia. So Sylvia, she might be very important to me today. So what happens is I go to Sylvia and I will import something from her into my life. That means to be important. That you might not be very famous, but you're important to someone. You make a difference in someone's life. That's what it means. That's how God sees your life. That you might not be famous at all. You're not going to go down in history. Your name is not in a book, but will be in someone's heart. And someone's life might be changed because of you. According to this present society, things are politically driven. Information are twisted all the time. Built and fashion driven. Outwardly appearance seems to be the only way that people feel good about themselves. The only thing that matters is outwardly appearance. Might not be an issue for you, but it's something that really gets me upset. And I've told this hundreds of times in the church. You know, you're driving around Edinburgh, you see this huge billboards. I haven't seen anyone here, but I'm sure you have some in somewhere. So you have these huge billboards about stuff. And there is the company, it's Hoves, the bread. Hoves, the bread, you know, they have the bread thing. So you see the girl in a bikini with the bread. And what's the bikini has to do with the bread? You know, I just imagine the wives and the girls, Dad, we need to buy that bread. The bread is the deal. Or the poor wife, and so that's what is missing in my life, that bread, I need that bread. But that's what society sells. It's about appearance. That you will be accepted by how you look has nothing to do with who you are. Society no longer rules or is moving according to family principles that were so fundamental. We live in a world, a planet, where relationships are very superficial. Everything starts to mistrust. Prove yourself first, then I will trust you. Opposite of God's kingdom, when the scripture says that God so loved the world, he gave his only son. It doesn't say that God stopped. Shall I trust him? Shall I do it? No, he just gave and trusted, knowing that we're going to mess up and make mistakes, but he did it anyway, because that's God's kingdom. I always listen to society's voice. Society's voice constantly asks you for something that you don't have, or for you to be somebody that you are not. And that's the whole bread thing. Ask you to have an appearance that's just not you. Or makes you believe that you need the later thing in order to be accepted. That's the problem with our generation. There are young people doing despicable things across the planet in order to have the latest gadget, because that's how they feel accepted. That's how they feel they can fit in. Well, here's the thing. We are not called to fit in. We are called to stand out. We're called to be different in God's terms. Are you listening to yourself? So we can listen to society and allow society to dictate how we rule, how we live our lives, how we walk, how we think. You may allow society to tell you how you should look like. Therefore, you're always trying to be somebody else. You always try to look different. You're constantly changing your looks in order to be accepted. But let me tell you with all honesty and a father's heart as well, that never ends. Because what's acceptable today is not going to be tomorrow. What's fashionable today is not going to be fashionable tomorrow. And many principles. So then we can allow then somebody else with society, which it's always about what they need for now, influence your life. Or we can also do this, only listen to ourselves. And I believe this, what you repeatedly speak and hear, you eventually going to believe. What you speak upon yourself will eventually come to pass. It's good to listen to ourselves. When you're having an argument with someone, or having a discussion, have you used that phrase, are you listening to yourself? Have you asked that? You know, just say amen, so you have. Good stuff. It's a good thing to listen to ourselves. Sometimes I go to my friends like Brian, I say, Brian, you just listen. You know, and I will speak. And as I'm speaking, I listen to myself, and I know I'm just speaking a lot of nonsense here. You know, because you can listen to yourself. It's a good thing. In a safe environment where you're just unloading, you know, we just talk about stuff. But if we only listen to ourselves, what happens is we're going to be led by what I call to be strongholds, our way of thinking, our frame of mind. And very rapidly, instead of being a self-evaluation process, we become trapped in our fears, anxieties, because you're only listening to yourself. And when you're listening to yourself, here's what happened. You were talking about experience from the past or things you're going in the present, because your information can be, it's only based upon what you see with the perception of what you have seen. Does that make sense? It's like Moses with the whole rock thing. God said, go and speak to the rock. And he was angry. He was upset. He was probably rehearsing his head. Well, I touched the first time, so that's how I'm going to do it. He touched the rock. Big mistake. So when we're listening to ourselves, we're going to act upon things. We're going to act on life according to what we have experienced and according to what we see in front of us. So therefore, our knowledge will be limited to how much we know. And sometimes the much we know is not enough to take us to where we need to be. When you listen to yourself, it creates something what I call to be spiritual and emotional disorientation. When you're only listening to yourself, you are repeating the past, repeating events of the past in your life. So what is happening? You are poisoning your present with memories and they are not necessarily positive. And at some point, you become very disorientated. You become fearful. You become anxious. Because you're only looking at yourself. And the scripture says that a man that hears the word of God that doesn't do what it says is like a man looking in the mirror. I had an opportunity to see this first century mirror. To have an understanding, why would they say that? It was made out of copper. I know, polished and hammered copper. It was ugly. It's an ugly thing. It was so bad. The mirror was so bad. There were some mirrors that have a drawing in the middle to deflect from your own reflex. Seriously, it was really bad. So whatever they were looking at, the first century mirror, they would look at the mirror, whatever appearance was, it was distorted. There was no clear vision. That's what the scripture is saying. Is a man who hears the word of God, it doesn't do what it says, his understanding will be distorted. Will be fuzzy. It will not be correct. It will not speak of truth. What you repeatedly hear, you eventually believe. When you listen to yourself, your chosen focus, it is the word you create for yourself. Once you are disorientated, when you only listen to yourself, listen to your complaints, listen to the mourning, listen to your desperation, eventually, what's going to happen with your emotional life and spiritual life is something called the spiritual paralysis. You are so caught up in anxiety and fear, and you're so concerned about the things that have happened or the things that didn't happen as you want them to happen, and you cannot, because at this point you're disorientated, so you cannot see beyond yourself. So what happens? You are paralyzed in fear. And at that point, you choose to do absolutely nothing, because that's the safest option you have. I'm not going to do anything about it. So then you start to tell yourself about the things that cannot be done or that should not be done. And that becomes your frame of mind. Whenever a challenge comes to you, your first response is, I can't do it. But you have not even opened yourself to the possibility that you can, but what you're telling yourself that I cannot. So you're choosing to focus on the limitations of your heart or your understanding. And that's what happens. If something goes badly wrong in your life, or even today, something breaks, the first question we ask is, what are we going to do now? At that moment, without realizing, we are seeking for knowledge or a solution in the natural realm, which is a good thing. But there are things in life that have to go beyond the natural realm. And that's when we need to ask God, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? In the church, Brian is here, can testify, we had big challenge to face 2 years ago. Really, really big challenge in finance in the church. Really tough stuff. And there were people who were saying, well, we can't do that, we cannot do that. And I used to say, well, if you cannot do that, well, let's just have a cup of tea then. Let's just sit down and have a cup of tea because there's nothing we can do. But what about changing the question? What do you mean? Well, how about was asking, what can we do? And once you change the question, you change your mindset, you change the frame in which you were operating within, so that opens you up to possibilities. But when you're only listening to yourself and you're not allowing God to speak into your life or good people to speak life into your heart, what happens? You are acting upon what you know. And with all due respect, I do not know you guys, so it's a general statement. With all due respect, what you know, it's not enough to take you to where God wants you to be. That's a simple fact. Jesus said, I do what I've seen the Father doing and I say what I hear the Father saying. I'm paraphrasing, it's a bit different than that. When we are listening to ourselves, we do not have future. But when we listen to the voice of God, when the voice of God is heard, and it seems that everything else stops and no longer matter, as a glimpse of the future and hope is given to us. We pray to God, God fill me up, but our heart is full of hate and envy. We pray to God, give me peace, but we are full of violence. God, give me wisdom, but we are so full of our own knowledge. We speak about God's will, but when He speaks to us, we just ignore it because it's not what we had in mind. But the good news, to avoid any further confusion, the Word of God became flesh and was revealed in Jesus. In the scripture in John chapter 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, whom came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible is whenever I speak the Word of God, or the voice of God, the first thing that comes to your mind is the Bible, right? The Word of God is the Bible. Yes, that's correct. The Bible is the written Word of God. But Christ Jesus is the living, incarnated Word of God. You see, I find amazing about the incarnation. Because the incarnation, God deleted every definition of distance, every possible excuse man could have to be separated or neglected from God was removed in one day and one sacrifice once and for all. When Jesus incarnated, the Word of God dwelt among us. So God got away with all the excuses, all the distance that there was before, now is revealed in Christ. All those promises that will be whispered in the temple, or passed on from generation to generation, the written words, the Isaiah's promises, and the whole thing about the Messiah, now was revealed in Christ. And the Word of God became flesh. The life and the promise documented in the stones was now revealed in the heart. And it was articulated with a human voice, and that was Jesus. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God, the word Logos, bringing order and creating all things. But now in chapter 1, in John chapter 1, we see the word Logos becoming one of us. You see Jesus at the beginning of the Bible, creating things and bringing order into chaos. And somehow we found ourselves in a mess again. But in New Testament, He brings now the order and transformation, not in an outwardly appearance, but within the human heart. So now the voice of God is no longer only in a book, but also within your heart through Jesus. And Jesus said, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you study the word every day. But the word points out to me, yet you refuse to come to me. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So you want to see God, look at Jesus. You want to hear God, listen to Jesus' teachings. You want to be like God, be like Jesus. And Deuteronomy chapter 32, 18 says, you deserted the rock who fathered you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. Mankind has forgotten their creator and the sound of his voice. And in the process, we also forgot our identity. But in Jesus Christ, we hear God's voice again, but without distance, close to us. And Jesus is God's voice to us. And also, the logic of human origin, everything God had in mind for mankind before the creation was voiced and finally revealed in Jesus. Another hour I'll finish, guys, so bear with me. It doesn't matter. When talk about God's voice, I can give you the notes if you want later on. I can give to the church. You guys can keep it. I've got way more here than what you see there. But we talk about listening to the society's voice. It makes you feel bad. It makes you feel less than who you really are. It makes you feel rejected because of your appearance, because of your looks, because of your power, your influence. You listen to yourself, which basically sometimes is all to do with things that we experienced in the past. And whatever, if we keep repeating things of the past into the present, what we do, we are poisoning the present and neglect and having no future at all. But when you listen to the voice of God, it doesn't matter what people have said to you or about you in the past. What you even think of yourself today. The only thing you need to hear is God's voice. The only thing you need to hear is God's voice. I wish if I had time today, I would explain to some of the background before Jesus baptized and the things he had been through that we can see through the scripture even after he was baptized and the things that he went through by his own family not believing him. But then a voice comes from heaven. This is my son who I am pleased with. It doesn't matter what people tell about you. It doesn't matter what society thinks of you. It doesn't matter about your looks. What matters is that God says to you, I love you. Jesus met the prostitute and all those people and said, look, your sins are forgiven. Go now and sin no more. In today's language, he was saying, I have loved you and I have accepted you. Now go on and have a different life. He didn't say, well, by the way, I would like you to go home, do a little change and change your looks, repent for your sins, get your life together, then come back here, we might have a chat. No. You're forgiven, now go and change your life. God's voice changes us. God's voice changes the way how we think. It changes how we see ourselves. It changes how people perceive us. The scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what Jesus has for you. The voice of God changes you first. And once you hear it and accept it, life-changing event and instructions will come to you. You only need to hear God and things change. There's a difference here between God's voice and Satan's voice. God's voice chills you. Satan's voice rushes you. God's voice leads you. Satan's voice pushes you. God's voice reassures you. Satan's voice frightens you. God's voice enlightens you. Satan's voice will confuse you. God's voice encourages you. Satan's voice does the opposite. It discourages you. God's voice brings comfort to your life. Satan's voice brings worry into your life. God's voice calms you down. And Satan's voice obsesses you. God's voice convicts you. Satan's voice condemns. Conviction is this. What I'm doing is wrong and I shouldn't be doing. There is something better for me if I change my mind. Condemnation says, you're not good enough, therefore stay where you are. That's condemnation. And I want to challenge you to ask yourself, whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to society's voice? Are you listening to God, to yourself only? Or are you listening to God? And I would advise you to listen to Jesus, to listen to the voice of God that is found in the scripture, that is found in the life of Jesus. Look at Christ. Christ is the incarnated Word of God. Every promise, every idea, every thought of God was revealed in Christ Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, you see God in the flesh. It's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Greeks, they went absolutely mental, because that was impossible. Because man is evil. The flesh is corrupted, but yet Jesus came in a human form to restore, to redeem what was lost. And that's what God's voice does to us. When you hear God's voice, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Things just change. I'll tell you this example of hearing God's voice and a critical thing I was telling yesterday. It's been in my mind since the beginning of the service, this testimony. Back home in Brazil, where I come from, I suppose you figure by the accent that I'm not British. I was in the church, and there's this little congregation was pastoring, and Nadir, one of my church members, she was 70 plus counting. So she had breast cancer, and she went to hospital, and she had to have surgery to do that. It was quite invasive surgery, but she then went okay with that, and she came back home, and a few months later she had to be rushed into hospital again because the cancer had rooted into her arm. And then they said, look, you're just too old, we cannot do anything for you. There's nothing we can do for you. So they sent her back home to face the fate of her life. So she came to church, and she said to me, look, Pastor, I'm going to have to move from city. I'm going to have to move to the highlands to be with my sister, so they will look after me, because I cannot even cook to myself and even to my husband. I just cannot do those things. And I've got to be honest with you, as she's saying, we're moving, I'm thinking, losing two church members, that's not really nice. You know, I thought, okay. But then she said, well, let's just pray for it. And so I was 21 years old. I did not know what I was doing. Be honest with you, it's God is sovereign upon things. But I heard God's voice. We need to pray about it. So we're praying together. And I said, Nadir, let's just pray for you then. If you need to go, you may well go, but let's pray first. So I got anointing oil, but I anointed her arm, and I was praying with her. And I was praying, and I was speaking about her life, and encouraging her to keep believing in Jesus, that Jesus could change things. And I was praying, and then I heard, it came this thought in my mind, which I knew I could not construct that thought in that particular way. And I said, look, here's the thing, you're going to go home, and she rolled her sleeve to show me the arm, and I'm being honest with you, when I saw the arm, I lost 50% of my faith just by looking at it. So now I said, okay, this is pretty intense, but we were praying, and I said, Lord, and I said, look, I wanted to go home, and this came out of my mouth. I obviously had control, because the scripture says the spirit is subject to the prophet. But it was so strong. It was coming from the Lord. And it was a desperate situation where she was listening to the doctors. She had been listening to herself. But now she needed to hear from God. And I prayed. I said, Lord, we just do what you can here, Lord. If it's in your heart, bring healing to her. And then I prayed. And it came out of my mouth. Tomorrow morning, you're going to go home and wake up sleeping on the sick arm. After I said that, and I said, oh, thank you. And I said to myself, what did I do? And I said, you know what? But there was conviction in my heart. Fine, this was Thursday. Sunday, she comes to church, and she comes late. I'm preaching, I'm really going for it, and she comes in. I noticed there was something different about her, but I never connected. So she sits down, and the whole thing is going on, and the service finished. Nadir comes to me, I have some news. I said, what's that? And she lifted her sleeve, and there was absolutely nothing there. Nothing there. And she said, you know what, Pastor, I woke up sleeping on a sick arm. So she was miraculously healed. And she lived longer than her husband did. As far as I know, she could be alive today. It's been 10 years now. What I'm telling you is this. When you hear the voice of God, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You have a glimpse of the future. And what you're going through doesn't matter, because you just hear God. And that's the only thing that matters to us. So I would challenge you, despite what you're going through in your life right now, what you need is to hear the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me, those who are tired and weary, and I'll give you rest to your souls. Amen? Let me pray for you. And I believe the deacons will be getting ready for the communion. Is that correct? Father, in Jesus' name, We want to hear your voice. I want to pray for every individual in this church right now, that through the Spirit of God, they would be touched and challenged to hear from you. Father, I don't want to be listening to what society has to say. I don't want to be listening to myself, Lord, as my knowledge is limited. But I want to be listening to you. I want to be listening to what you have to say, Lord. And I pray that you would speak in with every heart and soul in this building right now. Even for those who are not here today, I pray that this blessing would also reach out to them where they are, either home or on holiday. Lord, we are your people. And you voiced your will and your desire in Jesus. And we want to follow Jesus. We want to hear the voice of Jesus is speaking to us when we wake up, throughout the day, and when we go to bed, Lord. We want to hear about Jesus so we can speak about Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, and I pray that every heart and soul will be mightily touched this morning as they hear the voice of God that says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, a plan of hope and prosperity. In Jesus' name, amen.